treasures. When you plant a crop, you till the ground and you toil in labor, you expect to reap the benefits of the field. And the Bible is like the field. The Bible is like an oil well. You must drill to strike oil. The Bible is like a gold and a silver mine. You must mine the gold, the silver, and silver and gold must be sought after. The same thing about the truth of the Bible. They must be unearthed. They must be sought after. And you must study. The Bible teaches us that we should study the Word of the Lord to show ourselves approved. Now, when you begin to talk about the truth of the Bible, when understood, will reveal the truths of God. When the Bible is understood. And that's why the Bible must be read and it must be interpreted. And you cannot interpret the Bible by simply using one passage of Scripture. All Scripture must harmonize. And thank God, all Scriptures do harmonize. They all fall into place. The best interpretation of Scripture that I can give you is simply this. Scriptures interpret Scriptures. One Scripture will prove another Scripture, and each Scripture will interpret each other. Now, the Holy Ghost is one of the great truths of the Bible. And immediately when you begin to talk about the Holy Ghost, there's something else that comes to our minds immediately. And that is tongues. The speaking with tongues. Now, speaking with tongues now is in style. It's very stylish. A lot of people are supposed to be talking in tongues. There's a Pentecostal this and a Pentecostal that all over the country. And people are telling me that they are Spirit-filled and they spoke with tongues. It's very stylish now. You used to suffer a lot of ridicule and people poked fun at you when you said that you was a Pentecostal and you spoke with tongues. Many different churches and religious movements now embrace the teaching of speaking with tongues. And we do not suffer now any persecution because we speak with tongues. But many who speak with tongues teach that the Holy Ghost is not essential to your salvation. Now that's where we differ from everybody else. They teach that the Holy Ghost is optional. It is desirable, but not necessary. Now, I do not teach that, and neither do I believe that. I believe that the Holy Ghost is essential. The Holy Ghost is the birth of the Spirit. And when the Holy Ghost comes in, you will speak with tongues. Now, you do not have to teach anybody to speak with tongues. They spoke with tongues in the Bible as the Spirit gave them utterance. Not as you were taught. The Holy Ghost came in them and the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now here is a teaching. That tongues are just one of the several manifestations which may occur when one is baptized with the Holy Ghost. The speaking with tongues is thought to be one of the nine spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I want to explain something here. It is not merely speaking with tongues, but we must speak in tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. You cannot speak in tongues because somebody taught you to speak in tongues. You speak in tongues because the Spirit of God gives you the utterance to speak with tongues. And you do not have to pat folks on the back and tickle them under the chin to give them the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will fall upon the individual. It will move into the individual. And when the Holy Ghost moves in, you will speak with tongues. Speaking with tongues is the initial or first outward evidence that a person has been baptized with the Holy Ghost. And your tongue is the last member of your body that comes under subjection to the Holy Ghost. And I think the reason that is because the tongue is a very unruly member of the body. Now, what's wrong with speaking with tongues? I don't see any wrong in it. In fact, the Bible teaches it. To speak with tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Now, receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues puts you in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, "Christ is the head of the body, the church." You are baptized into the body by one Spirit. Now, if the church is one, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there is one body. I've already quoted Colossians 1:18, that Christ is the head of the body, the church, and there is one body, which means there is one church, because this one church has one head, and Christ is the head of the body, the church. "Then, for by one Spirit are you all baptized," Paul said, "into one body." You're baptized into the body. You just can't walk up and say, "I'm going to join the body of Christ," but you are baptized or born into the body. That's how you get in. I said, that's how you get in. Now, let me explain something else. Now, that puts you in the church, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Speaking with tongues puts you in the church. Now, after you get in the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God bestows upon people the gift of divers kinds of tongues. Paul asks a question in that chapter. He says, "Do all speak with tongues?" And people will grab a hold of that and say, "Now that leaves the impression in my mind that all people do not speak with tongues." He was not talking about how to get into the church when he said that. He was talking about the different gifts of the Spirit after you become a member of the New Testament body of Christ. Now he said different kinds of tongues, or diverse kinds of tongues. Now what is the purpose of tongues and interpretation in the church? The purpose is giving messages of edification to the church. The messages that are interpreted to reveal or bring forth a message from the realm of the Spirit. After we get in the church, we need to earnestly covet the best gift. That's what the Bible says. We need tongues after we get in the church to get a message from the realm of the Spirit. We need interpretation of those tongues to know what God's will for us is in a particular given state. I believe in tongues. I believe in interpretation of tongues. Tongues is a language. You speak under divine inspiration. Now, all people do not possess the gift of tongues. But you speak with tongues to get into the body of Christ. And I am in favor of that 100%. That we need to move in the realm of the Spirit. And let God have His free course and right away. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, let's put the brakes on." I say, take the brakes off and give it a little more gas. We want what God wants us to have. And sometimes He can move in His Spirit upon an individual, and that individual can give out a message, and if that message is interpreted, then God will reveal His mind to us. Now, notice carefully. the church was founded or born on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. And every member of that church, which the names together were about 120, and every one of the 120 spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. I said, Mary was there. And if Mary received the Holy Ghost, all you other women must have it. And if Matthew and Simon Peter received the Holy Ghost, and John received the Holy Ghost, and Paul received the Holy Ghost, all we men must have the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you go to talking about the moving of the Holy Ghost, you're talking about more than just running down the aisles and shouting and hollering a time or two. You are talking about a deep moving of the Spirit of God. And when that deep move of the Spirit of God moves upon a congregation, we hear from God. We get a message from the realm of the Spirit. Somebody said, well, it's dangerous to endeavor to manifest the gifts. I don't believe it's dangerous. If everybody will follow the leading of the Spirit of God, it's not dangerous. Why would God put it in here if it's not for us today? I'd like to ask somebody that question. Now, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now, why should the church in this day be any different from the church of that day? It's the same church. It's the same Jesus. It's the same Holy Ghost. Why should it be different? The reason people are not receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and being baptized in Jesus' name is because the men that's standing behind the pulpit are robbing the congregations of the great truth that's laid down in the book that I'm preaching from today. In most cases, people will walk in the light as the light is turned on, but you've got to have somebody to turn on that light. You see, the Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When you preach, you are opening up the Bible to people. When you teach the Word of God, you're opening up God's revealed mind and plan to people. That's why we must have preaching. The times demand that we have preaching. Now, in this day, from the early church till now, there's no scripture to prove that God has ever changed one thing about the plan and the pattern of the New Testament church. Now, the prophets gave messages concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me give you three proof texts. The promise of the Spirit. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Now that was Joel. He prophesied about the coming of the Spirit. Now let me give you another proof text. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me, of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, who was John talking to? He was talking to the multitudes that came to his baptism. In fact, everybody that John the Baptist baptized in his time of ministry had the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost if they would go on to the full knowledge of truth. You see, this old idea about nobody received it but 12, and this didn't receive it, and that didn't receive it. Well, let me tell you something. Everybody that was baptized into the body of Christ in the New Testament, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not optional. It's necessary. Spiritually, to keep alive, you must have the Holy Ghost in you. Just like you have to breathe physically to keep yourself on your two feet and live it. The Holy Ghost is the breath of God. And you've got to have it. I don't see nothing so bad with the Holy Ghost. Well, I've had people ask me, do I have to have it? Well, what's so bad about it? And it's a great feeling to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. To be filled with it. It's great. I just want more of it. And sometimes I've been so full till I couldn't contain any more. And that's why our cups run over. How long has it been since yours run over? What they used to have, we call them praise service, but they used to call them experience meetings. And an old man stood up and held to the back of the pew. He said, I've had religion for 40-odd years. And he says, my cup has never run over yet. Little boy sat by his daddy, punched him, he said, I bet you if that man's cup ain't run over in 40-odd years, it's got wiggle tails in it by now. You see, we need that fresh. I said, we need that fresh, indwelling, springing up Spirit of God. Hallelujah! That will put life in you, praise God. Dragging around like the dead lice and falling off of people and dragging in and dragging out. I can't hardly make it. I don't think I can go another step. Well, you probably won't. Until you get renewed and refreshed. Hallelujah. And when you get renewed and refreshed, you can fight the devil from here to Jericho. Hallelujah. And you'll feel that divine, holy presence of God. Now, John the Baptist said you'd be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John said God was going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Now, Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 25, this is what you'll find. When God poured out His Spirit, as Joel said He would, and the first reaction to the people in Jerusalem was this. What meaneth this? Some said they're drunk. Others said they're full of new wine. But Peter stood up and said, they're not drunk as you suppose. Seeing this is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, saying, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I heard one man say one time, I don't know whether I like this statement or not, but it sounds pretty good. He said, I received the Holy Ghost. But he said, if this is not that, I'm going to keep this until that gets here. But I have no doubt in my mind, this is that, and I'm not looking for anything else. This is that, which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Now then somebody will say, did Jesus ever say anything about the Holy Ghost? You just hold on a minute. I'm going to show you what my Lord said about the Holy Ghost. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the bishop has said, as the cardinal has said, as the pope has said, as the deacon has said, as grandma has said, as grandpa has said, no, he that believeth on me as the Scripture hath said. You see, a Bible scriptural belief will produce a Bible salvation. That's why people don't get what I'm talking about. They don't believe it. Go to church and say, I dare the preacher to crack my shell just like a Mississippi turtle. Hard, you know. See, that does not put one feather in your cap. You ought to come and say, God, if that is from me, Lord, let that word crack this old outer shell. Let me feel that divine presence of God and let me know that it's real. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly or his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. Now that's verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit. Now what was he talking about? He was talking about the river flowing with living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, the Holy Ghost is the living water, and Jesus said, it is for everyone that will believe on me, as the Scripture has said. Now, that's what the Bible said. You can't dispute that. I know I'm talking to people that believes what I'm saying. But I love to get among people that don't believe what I'm saying. And I like to take that word and preach it to them. We are certainly blessed people. Now, these three prophecies, Joel, John the Baptist, and Jesus. Now, Jesus taught that the Holy Ghost was very essential. Now, some teach that other manifestations are given in place of tongues. You don't have to speak with tongues, but there are other manifestations that will let you know that Christ has come into your heart. Now, some teach there is no manifestations at all. You just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, accept Him as Lord and Savior. There is no manifestation. There is no change of life. There is no change of lifestyle. There is no emotions whatsoever. I just accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and no manifestation. You read the book of Acts, which is the pattern of the New Testament church, and they had outward manifestations and outward demonstrations. Amen. This idea of a greater thing is God coming into a man's life with no manifestation. God of eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. God coming into a person's life. Well, I believe I have Him. I don't feel anything, but the preacher said, take it by faith. Take it by faith. What if your wife would cook you a good meal and say, now you sit down in the living room on the couch. Me and the kids are going to eat in the kitchen, but you just sit in there on the couch and take it by faith. That wouldn't get to first base. Take it by faith. God moves into a person's life. And when that God of eternity moves into the life of the individual, flowing out of your mouth comes a language that nobody taught you. That's the initial evidence of the outward manifestation of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Now notice, no manifestations at all. They refer to the operation of the Spirit before the day of Pentecost. Now, everybody should know that the Holy Ghost was here before the day of Pentecost. Because the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And she conceived and brought forth a son. Now you notice carefully. In the Old Testament, a select few had the Spirit. Because Peter described that. The Spirit of Christ that was in them. They uttered words that they did not understand, and they penned words that they did not understand. But it was a select few. And then others, the Spirit would move on them for a special occasion. Then that Spirit would lift. Why, God would let His Spirit rest upon certain individuals to fight certain battles and to lead the people of God in the Old Testament. Then when that mission was accomplished, then the Spirit would lift. But God was not content to dwell with His people. He wanted to live in His people. That's the difference between the old and the new. In the old, He was with His people. In the new, He is in His people. I said, He's in His people in the New Testament. We are the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. And our bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God lives on the inside of the individual. Hallelujah. I feel it. Like the foreigner came to this country, he couldn't speak English too well. And he got the Holy Ghost. And he heard everybody standing up testifying how they felt. He jumped up. He said, praise God. He said, it's better felt than telt. And I guess that's the way I feel today. I just can't tell you how I feel, but I feel it. Hallelujah. I feel it. That's the Holy Ghost. Now, God wanted to be in His people. Now, you heard me read John 7:39. But Jesus spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. It was not poured out. It was not given in the Old Testament as it is given in the New Testament. But after Jesus was glorified, the Holy Ghost was given in a way that was different from any other previous manifestation. Never in the Old Testament will you find where the church in the wilderness are individuals, where the rivers of living water experience was sent forth as it is in the New Testament. But here is what happened. It was reserved until Christ was born, crucified, buried, resurrected, and glorified, and then He poured out the Holy Ghost upon everyone that would believe on Him, as the Scripture hath said. Hallelujah. Before Pentecost, the Spirit never did flow from believers like a river. Now, I think I can clear a lot of things by identifying the Holy Ghost. They tell me the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. The Holy Ghost is not the third person of anything that does not exist. There's not a Trinity of gods nor a Trinity of persons. The Holy Ghost is not a person. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of a person. Oh, now they say the Holy Ghost is referred to as He. You think it would be referred to as she? Suppose I drop dead right now. But don't get no funny ideas. And you would go home and say, probably with a sigh of relief, and say, well, He's gone. Now, what part of me left? The Spirit. Why, certainly, I say He and Him. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I will have to say He or Him. But they say it's a person. Separate from God and separate from Jesus. Three separate distinct persons in the Godhead, co-equal in thought and in power. In other words, one can have as much power as the other, and one can think like the other. As a son, He did not know all things. But as God, He knew all things. And there's no such thing taught in the Bible as a trinity of persons or a trinity of gods. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God who is above all, through all, and in you all. That's all there is. Now, if I can clarify your minds, what is the Holy Ghost? Now, what is the Holy Ghost? I want to give you four definitions of what the Holy Ghost is. First, the Holy Ghost is the promise of the Father. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Jesus instructed the disciples to go to Jerusalem and tarry and wait. Not depart, but go there and wait, and you will receive the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. He instructed these men to do the same thing. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, you have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I contend that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, and the gift of the Holy Ghost, and being born of the Spirit, is all the self-same experience. Somebody said, I'm filled with the Spirit, but I'm not baptized with it. That's not the teaching of the Bible. They used on synonymous terms. To be filled means to be baptized. To be baptized with it means to be born of it. Hallelujah. So the promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost. Can you say praise the Lord? The promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost. Now secondly, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, it's the promise of the Father. Secondly, it is the Comforter. John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus called it the Spirit of Truth. Now, what is the Holy Ghost? It's a promise of the Father. It's a Comforter. It's the Spirit of Truth. Number four, this will ring the bell. The Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, I've had people say now, here not long ago, a lady said now, I have Jesus in my heart, but I don't have the Holy Ghost. Well, I said now, what part of Jesus did you get? She looked at me. Well, she said, I got Jesus, but I didn't get the Holy Ghost. Well, I said, what part of Him did you get? I said, you don't get anything from Jesus but His Spirit. That's what you get, is the Spirit. Let me ask you again. I've already said this two or three times. What's so bad about receiving the Holy Ghost? I don't understand that. That was the normal experience of the new church in the book of Acts. It was born as an infant, filled with the Holy Ghost. That was a normal experience. It's normal today for the New Testament church. Hallelujah. Now, if I can prove that the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, I want to give you three proof texts. John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus said, the Comforter, the Father will send it. John 15, 26, Jesus said, I will send it. John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you without a Comforter. I will come to you. Now, unless we can analyze and put these scriptures together, we have a flat contradiction in the Bible. Jesus said the Father will send it. Then He said, I'll send it. Then He said, I'll not leave you without a Comforter. I will come to you. He said, I'm with you now, but lo, there'll be a day when I will be in you. When does He come in to the individual believer? He comes in to the individual believer when you receive His Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Ghost, and He moves into the life of the individual. You ought to shout. Now, here is another proof text in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Oh, it's so simple when you begin to get into the Scriptures. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, and I've heard this preached so many times, but people, you see, that's a problem. They don't stop long enough to analyze what they read. They just read through the Bible. Some people can read the Bible through 10 times and never understand a thing in the world that they've read about it. There's difference in reading the Bible and in studying the Bible. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Now, these are the words of Paul. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Same verse, same writer, same pen. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. He uses three expressions. He calls it the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and then he said, if Christ be in you. Now, how many spirits do we have? Back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one Spirit. Did you ever notice instead in the Bible, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, three writers wrote of the same occasion. They used different expressions. One said, and lo, the heavens were open, and the Holy Ghost descended like a dove. The other one said, and lo, the heavens were open, and the Spirit descended like a dove. And the other one said, and lo, the heavens were open, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God is all the self-same Spirit. The Comforter, the promise of the Father, is all the self-same experience. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Being baptized with the Holy Ghost is being born of the Spirit. When you have the Holy Ghost, you have the only part of Christ in you that you will ever receive in this world. When you receive Christ, you receive His Spirit. That Spirit is the Holy Spirit. That Spirit is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Now, there are some steps to receiving the Holy Ghost. The first step is faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, when Jesus commissioned the disciples to go preach the gospel, He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now that's what the Bible said. I'm not preaching what I read out of a sermon book. I'm preaching what I am reading out of this book. This book. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, faith. The second step is repentance. John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, came preaching repentance. Mark chapter 1, verses 14, 15, when John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus took up the torch and He began to preach repentance. He said, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when the people were convicted and pricked in their hearts on the day of Pentecost, they came to Peter and to the rest of the apostles and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm giving you more scripture. You could go to just a normal, everyday church in this area, and I'm giving you more scriptures today than you will hear in a year. And here we are, we are cramming all of this in us, and we've heard it so much, and say, well, it's just a common, everyday thing. Every time I preach on it, I get so excited, I get so high, until I almost have to have somebody to help me down. Hallelujah. Thank God, when I begin to preach about how great it is, how powerful that it is, and really what it is. Is Christ in you the hope of glory? And when you receive Christ, you receive His Spirit. That's the only part of Him that you ever receive in this world. Now the third step. Now the first step is faith. The second step is repentance. The third step is water baptism. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now you notice carefully. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 9, when Ananias told Saul, he said, arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, that you may be filled with the Spirit, or receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 9. Well, verse chapter 22, verse 16, when Paul, he brings this to memory, and he said, the voice told me to arise and be baptized, washing away my sins and calling on the name of the Lord. You tell me Paul didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Paul had the Holy Ghost. That's why he was baptized. That he might be a candidate for the Holy Ghost. Amen? You know, I've often wondered, There's a lot of churches over the country that's named after Paul. St. Paul this and St. Paul that. And I wonder if Paul came to town, what church would he go to? I would imagine he'd walk into some of these ice boxes. He said, "Man, I'm freezing to death in this place." He said, "The church that I talked about in the New Testament was a church of fire. And I'm freezing to death in this place." If he'd walk behind this pulpit right now, he'd feel so at home. You know, with what I preach, I wouldn't be afraid to have all of the disciples out here in my audience today. I wouldn't be afraid to preach before Paul and Peter and Matthew. I really wouldn't. Because Paul had the Holy Ghost. Matthew did. I wish Mary was sitting right here. She'd look at me and she'd say, "Preacher, I received that same thing 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost." Amen. Amen. Now I want to just put the cap on it. And I'm going to fix to put the cap on it right now. The devil with all of his crowbars will never be able to tear up from the platform what I'm fixing to lay down right here. Are you ready? You had better fasten your seat belts, because I'm going to come through now. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. If you don't remember, another thing I said, take these two last scriptures home with you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now, who was that letter addressed to? The Ephesian Christians. The church at Ephesus. He was reminding them that they had received the Spirit of truth, which was the gospel of their salvation. It's in your Bible. Ephesians 1:13. You trusted. You heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Then after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the Holy Ghost. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. You know what earnest money is? It's a down payment. We haven't been paid off yet. We just got the down payment. You wait till that day comes in 1 John chapter 3. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Hallelujah! The Holy Ghost has just taken us all over there. Praise God! That's the earnest of our inheritance. Now, if this book means what it says, and I thank God, I believe it means what it says and says what it means. Now, let me read again. I'm trying to establish the fact. Ephesians 1, again, same verse. "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now, that's to the Ephesian Christians, to the church at Ephesus. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 9 and find out about the church at Ephesus. How did they get in and how were they sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? Acts chapter 19, the first six verses. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they got mad. They said, I've already been baptized once, and once is enough. Once is enough if you get it right the first time.
Amen.
They didn't kick over the traces. They didn't say, the preacher, I don't like him. Man, you can preach the Bible, and they don't fall out with God in the Bible. They fall out with the preacher. It's a strange thing. Don't cuss me. I never put it here. I'm not the cook. I'm the waiter. I'm just serving you what's already been cooked. Don't blame the waiter with a bad meal. Get on the cook in the kitchen. I didn't put it in there. Am I ever excited? Glory. Unto them, what will you baptize? And they said, under John's baptism. Then said Paul, John's ready to baptize with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They got sealed in verse number 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. They spake with tongues. That was to let Paul know, let themselves know that the Holy Ghost had come in. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Then Paul writes in Ephesians, the first chapter, and tells them they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God by that precious promise. They heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. What is the word of truth? What is the gospel of your salvation according to Ephesians 1 and Acts 19? It's the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, being baptized in Jesus' name, and speaking with